Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
But first, let me begin by introducing my co-host.
First, we have poet, author, and motivational speaker, Mr. A.J. Houston. And second, we have one of Dallas's hottest DJs and club promoters, Mr. Kundalini. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, Carrie. What's up, Kong? What's up, man?
What's going on, AJ? What's happening with you, Miss Carrie?
Oh, it's all good. Listen, do y'all have any thoughts about last week's show that y'all want to put out there?
Well, I do. I think a lot of people brought up a lot of good points just to show in true measure that there's a whole lot of answers, there's a whole lot of solutions and a whole lot of problems that we need to find answers for also. So I think it actually put on the minds of everybody that, you know, we can all do something in some way, shape, form, or fashion to help the situation. And I think that's what it takes is everybody doing their part, even if it's just a little part.
I agree. Kundalini?
I agree with that. I think the main thing I would say is that we just got to continue to reinforce responsibility. Responsibility, people have got to be cautious that they do become responsible for their own actions, irregardless of the situation surrounding them. So you have to be responsible. And I think that if we could do that a little bit more, make that become more effective, then maybe some of these gray areas where we're not working together, maybe it'll kind of feel itself.
Well, what about the caller that took so much heat last week? Do you think really we just didn't want to admit that what he was saying was really true, that some of the systems have got to be kind of dismantled in order for deadbeat dads not to have such a comfortable place? If they were forced to be more responsible because there was not going to be a system to pick up the slack, maybe then we wouldn't have so many deadbeat dads.
Well, no, he made some good points. He made some good points, but I think the main thing was that it was he made good points on the positive side, but he so negatively did it. Okay. And I think when you do that, you're not participating in the process of solutions. You're only pointing your finger at the problems. And that was the only thing I saw. You know, bring up some solutions and say we can dismantle this if we do this, or let's progressively do it, and let's make this an area where they have to be trained. If they're going to take this assistance, they have to participate in the training, participate in the college, participate in the assistance by participating in the solution. You know, so he brought up points, but I just thought he did it in such a negative fashion in different ways that he didn't seem to be part of the solution, just a person standing on a pedestal pointing at the problems.
Well, I thought, too, that it seemed like everybody was making the problem with violent teens about the mothers. You know, the mother wasn't doing this and the mother wasn't doing that. That part is understood, that the woman has to play a role in this. But I think when the mother is still the one that's there, I think we made our point last week for all of those that said the mother had to step up and start making better choices with the men that they choose to have children by. We get that. But at the same time, today we're talking about deadbeat dads and what their role is in this generation in what some people are calling being lost. It's a scary thing to think that we could lose a whole generation, but that's what the numbers are saying, which, you know, I know y'all don't believe in numbers, y'all don't believe in statistics, but it's just a sad case when we see so many kids hurting each other, and it seems to be about anger. And nobody's addressing the fact that the anger has to come from somewhere. And that anger, in my opinion, and what seemed to be the conclusion from last week's show, was that it's because no fathers are in the home. Would y'all agree with that?
Carrie, you cannot throw that y'all don't believe in that sentence. And it's not that I don't believe in numbers. It's just that people use statistics in such ways that they're not truly depictive, depicting exactly what's going on, because you can use them to slant your argument. So,
okay,
you know, don't say we don't believe in them. I believe them, because numbers are really what we're going on sales and everything else. But don't toss that out there like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Well,
I think really it's more of a question of when you say the numbers and statistics, a better question that needs to be asked is who's the reporter?
Okay. Now, that's fair. That's fair. Because we know that when we look at politics all the time, we get all these polls that say this and polls that say that. But what at the end of the day, nobody ever calls my house or your house to ask us what we were doing in terms of who we were voting for. So we do question sometimes who's taking the poll.
Right.
Okay. Well, then let's go here. If you are listening and you have a situation where either you are a a child of a deadbeat father, or you are raising children and the father of your children, whether that be a husband or a boyfriend, is a deadbeat parent. Give us a call. We'd like to hear your story. We're not telling you to put all your business out there. We don't have to, you know who you are in terms of your name, but we just like to know how many situations are we actually seeing out there where the fathers are absent. And deadbeat, in my opinion, and I don't know if y'all agree with me, does not simply mean child support, because child support is a big part of it. But deadbeat to me means you are not actively involved in the child's life.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I also think that we need to put out for the callers, mm-hmm. all those men that are considered deadbeats that aren't, because a lot of times the opinion is concluded on what information is given, and he may not even know where his kids are. Mm-hmm. She might be holding him hostage, and he now finds himself on the list. Like, man, I've been trying to find my kids. Oh, that's where they are? So I'm saying, I want those guys to call in so we can have both sides of the argument on the show. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, the chat room is open today. Kundalini and AJ are both in the chat room. If y'all like to tell us what you think via chat, we'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about some of the systems that are put in place just because the father isn't the father, or I shouldn't say acting as the father should be. If you think about just from a financial standpoint, let's start there. If the father is not supporting his family financially or just supporting his child, let's just say maybe he only has one child by this woman, but if he's not supporting that child, a lot of times the woman ends up getting different types of assistance, whether that be welfare or food stamps or Section 8 or be on WIC programs. All this is put into place just because he didn't support his family financially. And I think that's hurting everybody, because it's causing the woman to be dependent on a false system that could be gone tomorrow. Because there's no guarantee that we'll wake up tomorrow and welfare will still be intact. So I just think that it's a sad case when a man has a child and walks away from his responsibility and leaves that up to a system. I mean, that's just like playing Russian roulette with your child's life, that a system is going to be there when you're not.
Mr. Kundalini, you first, sir. Because I've been going first. I don't want to seem like I'm always going first. So.
No, I don't think it's that. But as far as in relationship to the system, I mean, the system is put in place, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, for just situations, period. Unfortunately, what's pretty much been forced out there is that the father is missing, so we have these systems to create for these families. But, I mean, I don't think those systems are out there just for single-parent homes. They're out there for people who are struggling in general, which, you know, can be a whole bunch of different situations for whatever reason. So, you know, it's not a guarantee that stuff is going to be out there, but even to retrospect back on the caller from last week, going back to what AJ said, one thing that's kind of sad is a lot of people want to get rid of it, but they're not really introducing any solutions in the process. They're saying, okay, get rid of it. And I think the gentleman last week, if I remember correctly, he said that's going to help women marry better men. And I was a bit confused by that statement. Maybe other people were not, but I was. And I really didn't see where he was going with that. But, you know, there's not any real solutions that are being provided that I'm seeing about helping those who are struggling, whether they're, you know, double-parent homes, single-parent homes, where, the mother's working 2 and 3 jobs or whatnot, or not even able to work or just not working, to find a way for them to be able to cover the system. It's like there's got to be solutions in the place of it. And I think if we can start there, you know, that'd be a big plus to begin with. So, you know, we got to look at the system is in place for struggling. And I could be wrong, but, you know, I thought it was put in place for people that was just struggling in general, not necessarily because it was single-parent homes.
I think you're right.
Well, wait, Kerry, this is my turn. Not because Kerry was going there and changed the whole subject, and I'd be trying to figure out what I was about to say. But no, I agree with you, because the system was put in place for those people who are struggling. But see, when we look at the conversation on deadbeat dads, we have to go back historically to see when when the initial problem was introduced into our culture. It was introduced back in the time when, you know, during the Great Depression, those times when men couldn't find jobs, but they were hiring women. Women, and they were actually helping women with single families out. So men were actually leaving distraught, completely distraught, leaving their homes because that was the only way their family would be taken care of. So sometimes when things happen out of necessity, over a tenure of time, it becomes a pattern or a record of history. So now people are so used to not having fathers at home that now you have all these people actually leaving the house when they actually need to be there. So I'm saying I think we need to go back historically and see where it occurred so we can actually begin to stitch those problems, stitch those solutions in those problems back then. And we can't change that, but we can actually see now the importance with the programs because they seem to be now just for those single parents, those mothers. They bring their kids in, they get WIC, they do whatever, and you're allowed, by the number of kids you have, you're allowed so much produce, so much whatever. And I think those programs actually help, but we still need a solution to help minimize the impact of those programs because they still need to. If you get WIC, you need to sign up and take classes. To get WIC, you don't have a high school diploma. You got to go get your DD. And they have, but they also have to have a place because by the WIC office, where those same people can come and go next door and take the GED classes. Or go somewhere and have an annex so they can take the college courses because when you want them to travel so far and they don't have transportation because they're actually getting this assistance. So I'm saying there's so many parts of the solution that has to be stitched together to make it work that we really have to address the problem, I guess, in totality.
And I agree with that. To piggyback off what Adrian just said, it should be a weaning off period. I mean, because assistance should not last for 20 years. You know, assistance should not last for you to get five kids grown over an 18-year period. And so it's not fair that people can have irresponsible sex, produce a child, and the father just walk away from his responsibility and never care for that child because he knows, oh, there's a system in place that they can go and get housing, food, you know, and whatever else that they may need. That's not fair. That's not fair to the rest of us. That's not fair that the taxpayer has to pick up the slack where the man dropped it off at. That's just not fair. That's just the way I see it. But we're going to go to the phone lines. If you're on the line and have a question or comment about today's topic, we're talking about deadbeat dads, how they've affected this generation. Or if you're listening via the Internet and have a comment, call us at 347-850-8390. Area code 843, you're on center stage.
Hey, how you doing? It's T. Smith. How y'all doing today?
Hi, T. Smith. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Alabama won Thursday night. Tampa's going this weekend. My Bulls are on a roll.
We ain't going there.
All right.
Now, we're talking about deadbeat dads.
Go ahead and let y'all know that. But, you know, people say solutions. To me, it's simple solutions. One, before I go to solution, we have a mentality in a black community of the cart pulling the horse. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, having kids were designed with married people to build your family structure, have a loving household, having incomes that can take care of a kid. No, we want to build a kid then say, oh, well, you should be there. But let me ask you this. Too many, if the solution is to fix the community, these men being in the homes, one, I feel like the women part is also that, one, if you lay out sex unprotected, you saying you want to have a kid. But a lot of these people are having random casual sex with people that could care less about each other and then mad when the person leaves their responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Let's just be – I'm going to be the bad guy right here, but it's wrong that a man leaves. But at the same time, why are these men that give two craps about the women are the ones making the kids? Because, mind you, I'm 32. I don't have kids. I've never been married. I've been brought up to be married, have my stuff together. So my thing is it's in the homes. It's what these people are teaching these kids and, like, the person that's in that home teaching those kids because my thing is this. If I grew up in a household where mama had to work two jobs, got three kids by three dudes, you'd be doubly damn sure I'm not going to do the same thing. Mm. And I just feel like that people in our community got to understand that, one, family structures with two loving people loving their kids, that's how you build this generational wealth. That's how you get these kids to do better in school and all that. because the I could do bad all by myself mentality has bitten us in the behind in my community.
I listened to T. Smitty's show the other day, and he did say something that was profound. T. Smitty says, when I meet a woman that has kids, what did you say? You don't have sex with that woman because of what reason? Was it because you said you don't want to get the third child or something to that effect?
What I was saying is with kids, with me, with women with kids, I just feel like there's just so much you got to deal with, you know, because in our community, they say, well, the man should be there. That's a lot of should. But if that man didn't care, you can't force that man to be a father. So I'm telling these ladies, hey, you don't have to give the man unprotected sex and say he puts that ring on your finger if you're looking for marriage. Because the thing is, this man knows something about this man. Because women have custody over 90% of the time in most states. So
know
something about – go ahead.
No. I was going to say to some points you made before. As far as I've always said the whole situation is about relationships, our ability and our understanding of relationships. So instead of sex education in schools, why don't they have relationships, you know, a class on relationships, on building responsible relationships in school instead of sex education, because I think that would actually replace it and be a great substitute.
You know what I tell you also, brother? I tell you this. What's your name? Because I miss y'all names and stuff.
AJ,
okay, cool. You play for Georgia. But anyway, AJ Green, but anyway, you know, relationships also with sex ed. One, you got to teach kids about prevention. Two, parents have to tell their kids the truth.
That's true.
The truth about how they got here. Because let's be real, most of these people ain't married. Look at these numbers. You know, it's mostly casual sex because person as a guy, I can get sex before I get love from a woman, from that same woman. And because I tell you a quick story. I got this young woman I know. She's like 22. She got pregnant with this dude, and she said, I was shocked, but she had unprotected sex. And also, she said that, well, I'm going to try to make it work out. And then she also told me a couple months later, I caught up with her, that, you know, just because she has a baby in the world, she sees no point in getting married. And I was thinking to myself, one, you should be working out with that man before you have a baby. And I feel like that marriage in our community is looked at as like something white or as an obligation. And so many people are saying that, oh, well, my kids turned out okay. But I tell black people, it's not that old, I'm a pepper, you're a pepper commercial. It's that, hey, there's a lot of people, just because the mama raising those kids don't mean she loves those kids as well. And so that's a lot of issues there. And it may take out the fact that father's not around on those kids. So it's a lot of it factors, a lot of stuff that ties in together with this.
That's true. And that's
their relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry, go ahead, AJ.
No, I was saying it's still relationships. You know, when you teach people about relationships, I think the power of a relationship is that initial understanding of the person. Mm-hmm. See, because you can't have a relationship with somebody if it's just sex. Because you still hadn't met the parents, see how they associate with the parents, see how they associate with their brothers and sisters. There's so much that goes into relationship that once you start a relationship with somebody, you say, no, I don't want to have sex with her, man. She's crazy. I don't want to have sex with him. He's not responsible. He don't treat his mother right. And you start seeing all these things that you only find out when you first started out in lust, trying to get to love.
But see, I've been I'm sorry, AJ. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I had to piggyback what AJ said. The one thing that I tell women on all these shows to our deadbeat dads, the one thing, especially if I have girls, if they have a father that cares and a mother that cares, that's the thing. Just because you buy a little Johnny new Jordans don't mean you care. But remember, like, growing up that you had to meet the dad, and you had to be the best to take his daughter out on a date.
That's true.
And that is gone now. Because
you had to tie your belt up or put a rope around your pants.
Yeah, because, you know, dads can see through the game. Remember, mama can still be hoodwinked, too. So, you know, so dad can see through all the flashy talk and stuff like that. So that's why I feel like you need two people. They may not be together as a couple, but still be equally involved in caring their children's lives.
But if you get to know a fella long enough, I mean, talk to him long enough, and you find out his daddy walked out on him, and see how he feels about his daddy walking out of him, that may give you an indicator how he'll feel about walking off from you and your kids. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? If you just spend a little time getting to know each other, which seems to be something of the past. Nobody does that anymore.
And what are you taught growing up? And what are you taught? I was taught by my folks, don't bring no babies in the world. You can't take care of them financially, or you're not mature enough. So many of us are bringing kids into these world, in this world. Oh, I love them. Yeah, love ain't buying no formula. But at the same time, yeah, go ahead.
Now I'm going to say, I hear Coon, Mr. Kundalini over there breathing hard. He got something to say. Let him speak. Go speak, Coon. It's your turn, man. Go speak. I see you holding your breath. You got holes in your tongue from your teeth. Go on, man, speak.
Wow. Now, I was just going to say that kind of the one thing I was thinking about in the process of listening to what y'all are talking about, because I hear all these different things that used to be there, and I think it's kind of weird. I've met some crazy people over the last, I don't know, ever since this conversation has started, and in addition to some stuff that I just came back and reflected on, some stuff that happened early this year, I remember meeting a young brother that his whole thing was he was meeting girls, and if they were sexy enough, if they were fine enough, you know, according to him, you know, he was trying to make them the baby mama so he could keep them. And I was like, well, how are you taking care of that? You know, and it was like that wasn't really the point to him. The point was to keep her because she looked good. And I was like, man, like, where do you learn that at? You know, how do you, and most of the other people kind of joking about it, ha-ha, that's kind of funny. You know, you got all these different baby mamas, and they look good, but they crazy. And I was like, I don't even see why, how did this become a joke? You know, at what point in time did that become funny? It was just an interesting situation to me to know that somewhere out there, there's somewhere that's that concept, and it's alive and running. And it's like, how do you take an individual like that, in comparison to some of the situations you guys are talking about, how do you take a situation when you got this individual that they're old enough, they're mature enough, they might not be 30 years old per se, but they're old enough to understand what they're doing and out there creating babies based on how good a female looks. Now, that to me is an interesting situation.
Is it how good? Are they really creating a baby, or are they just sleeping with the woman because she looks?
No, they're having children. Like, he had, like, according to everybody in the room, like 7-8 kids. And I'm telling you, the brother ain't no more than, can't be older than 22, 23. Can't be.
But see, Kundalini and I went to crappydad.com. Wait! And Kundalini found somebody on there he knew. I mean,
yeah, I won't say famous, I won't necessarily say it like that, but he definitely is a known entertainer within Dallas, and I was like, wow, like, I couldn't believe somebody put him out there like that. Like, that was, and I feel I'm in the place to know the dude like that, to even ask him if it's real. I was just like, wow, man, I know the guy, several people I know the guy. It was like, no mistaking, like, we know this dude.
And tell them what the premise of the dad.com. What all was she able to say about him? You post his picture, first of all, and then after she posted his picture, what did she say about him?
She was just saying he had, I think if I recall correctly, I think he had like 8 children, and he wasn't being responsible for any of them. You know, he's just out there making babies.
But, hey, but no, but I was telling, when Carrie told me that, I said, Carrie, you might find the name AJ Houston on there. You might. No, I'm saying real, because I have 2 daughters that I had for a time of myself. When I filed for divorce, my ex came out and took them and was gone. I spent thousands of dollars in private detectives and everything. Every time I found them, they moved. So the end result was, whatever happened, is that my daughters believe that I was just not there. So your name can appear on there. I'm not saying that some other names might be on there for that reason, but I'm saying I would kind of expect for my name to be there because of the way that they feel about what they were given over the tenure of years that they didn't, that I couldn't find them, that they didn't know me. So,
well, it looks like the girls wanted to put them on blast, like, right now. These didn't sound nothing like the females that was willing to wait that length of a time. They was like, this is a media situation. This is a national emergency. We need to put this dude on blast, and let me let you know everything that you need to know about this dude before you meet him. It was a lot of people on there. I don't think they waited too long to really put it out there.
No, but see, they didn't have that site then. I'm saying she feels that way now, so.
Well, yeah, she might be listening in today, and she might want to go on there, you know. Hey.
Yeah, I'm saying could be, because I kind of expect my name to be there.
So the wonderful day happened.
Is what?
Well, I mean, but you know what I'm saying? I'm curious, you know, in the problem of talking about, you know, these deadbeat dads, we got a new generation with a whole new thought process on it behind, you know, the things that y'all are saying, that some of these things of meeting a father, et cetera, missing. I was even talking about that. I think I was on the phone with Carrie one time. The thing that's interesting to me now is how a lot of times when you do see people meeting people or whatever, a new person or whatever, it's a tendency for people not to even speak.
Mm.
Like, they just like, you know, it's not even a conversation. They came there to see who they came to see, and that's about it. And it ain't no conversation. Hey, how you doing? Who are you? None of that. And it's almost, in some cases, almost assumed as if this is nature. Like, they can't come to my house with that. But, you know, there's a lot of other houses I've seen that operate like that, and it's strange for me.
But let me switch gears a second then. Kundalini and I also did the research on this show, and we're looking at China. China has a whole different way of looking at population control.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
I say yes, they do.
They do. They have a totally different way. China says everyone gets to have one child. And if you have more than one child, you lose 50% of your income. If you have a second child, you lose your employment. That says to me China is not playing about you cannot have a whole bunch of children and then end up on a system. So I think maybe that's extreme. I think over here. But maybe something similar may need to start to happen where you got to take some responsibility for the kids that you father.
But look at the history of that system and see when it started and the progression that it went to get to this point.
Okay.
Because I'm saying it makes sense of what they're saying to control a population control. But I'm saying we have to go back and see when they first began to start this control, when they started, and did they go from you can have two children or you can have two and a half kids or whatever, and see how that worked. I'm saying I like to hear the history of that particular system and see how they reached this particular point to where everybody's completely understanding that I'm not going to lose my employment because I want to have some other babies. I'm saying it's definitely excellent, but let's look at the history of it and see how progressively they got from the beginning of it to this point.
And if you look at it too, like that 50% discount, in a sense, would be something similar to child support, but it's like that's like a super duper. Do they take 50% out for child support for baby daddy type situations? I mean, that seems like that's an extreme. 50% of your income.
But I mean, it sounds like to me, though, obviously they are they're bursting at the seams and they're tired. And they're saying, okay, you know what, if y'all can't handle how many children you have, we'll tell you how many children you can have. And if you don't obey that, then we're going to start taking away the incentive to have children, because if you start losing your money, you know, you'll pay attention. And so I think that's extreme, but I think maybe we do need to start weaning our system or weaning our people off of our systems here, because in the long run, the government cannot continue to fight wars and take care of kids for 18 years. It's just that's just not going to happen.
I was just going to say, so I mean, in a process like I was saying before, I've met some weird guys with their weird ways of thinking nowadays. I just couldn't even imagine thinking like at that age or even younger or even older. And I'm still trying to figure out, like, how do you talk to these young guys that are having these weird mentalities? Because these ain't even about relationships. They just creating, you know, for the sake of creation and holding on to a baby mama in some cases. I'm not by any means trying to say that there aren't fathers out there that are trying to be there for their children, because I know too many of them, but it's the ones out there that they ain't, and not really in the process of helping the problem either.
But see, the thing is, if the government said tomorrow, even if you're a crackhead, if you have a child, there's no such thing as just because you want to stay high for the rest of your life, you don't have to take care of your kid. How about we send you to crackhead camp where we help you to dry yourself out, and at the same time you got to be working so that we can send a half of what you're making back to these kids. It's got to be
somebody's going to be mad because they're going to say that the government's not really paying for it. That's the taxpayers' money. Why are we coming out of taxes to help provide something that they created? It's going to be a cycle.
I would think
because that's usually what I hear every time somebody say something about the government. Like, well, that's not really the government. That's the taxpayers' money. Then they're gonna stick a tax on us, and then we're gonna have to be responsible for somebody else that didn't do their job because they laid down with somebody. I mean, I can hear it now.
But see, even in my opinion, you shouldn't be in prison and have kids and not be doing something. I mean, they should be making license plates, and half of what they make goes toward their court costs and fees, and the other half goes back home to the kids. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they ain't even finna give up. I mean, let's look at the situation like that real quick. If you look at the type of money that they're getting paid to do that in prison, 50% of that ain't going to solve nobody problems no time soon. All that is helping the situation for those prisons because, you know, majority of them are privately owned. So that's going to some families. It's not like they're sharing that money with the rest of everybody else because a lot of these prisons, they're not government-owned. They're owned by private families. So we got to look at where that money's going to. You know, we can't just say, you know, they should get 50% of it. I mean, if they ain't getting but, let's say, $7 a day, I mean, $3.50, I mean, we could break down the numbers, and at the end of the day, somebody at McDonald's is making more than that for working for 2 weeks.
But see, the bottom line is not the amount. The amount is not as important as your contribution, that you're trying to do something. Because why should the taxpayer put the entire load when you can do something? That's all I'm saying. I agree.
I'm just saying you can't look at it like you're taking money from the government. You got to realize that money is going to come from some private families. And them private families don't care about what you're talking about. That's you taking out of their personal pocket.
We're always talking about stop sending jobs to China. Okay, let's stop sending jobs to China and sending jobs to Mexico, and let's start putting the jobs in the prisons. So, therefore, that joker who's sitting in prison who got five kids that are not getting fed can start getting some food on the table through something other than WIC and food stamps. I'm sorry, and welfare. It's just got to be a break somewhere where somebody says enough is enough. I don't care.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying, the only point I'm making is that you got to realize that, unfortunately, a lot of that money is not going where everybody thinks it's going. There's really money going into some private families' pockets. It's not going to the government. It's not going to the city. It's going to a group of families. That's their money. And when you start talking about taking out of their money, watch, you'll start seeing some stuff come out the woodworks that you didn't know existed because they're not talking about that money.
But see, We don't have to put prisoners in private prisons. You know, that's a choice.
Right, but majority of them are privately owned. It's not by choice, it's by design. Majority of them, over 50% of them, like even in Texas, over 50% of the prisons in Texas are privately owned. It's not a matter of choice, it's a matter of options.
Hey, this is T. Smitty right here.
Hey, a couple of things on that. First, the simple solution is choices. People have to make a choice. If women are complaining about these type of men that getting a pregnant, dude got 7-8 kids. Let's be real, most of them know this dude had a bunch of kids he didn't take care of anyway. And if he did take care of these kids by all these women, how much money does he have to take care of yours or the time? We got to build up a kid to resource ratio in our community. And think about this. It's about prisons. Again, you make a choice to go to prison.
That's true.
A choice to do that kind of crime. So I have no sympathy for prisoners. I have sympathy for the kids. But at the same time, that's where you go in this children thing, seeing who the type of person this is before you have a kid with these people. But I got to say, when there's a choice, there's no mistakes, there's no room for complaints. I feel for the kids.
I agree. And I think, too, though, when a joker goes around and he's fathering all these kids and he's not taking care of them, what happened to Snip Snip? Obviously, he doesn't know how to use his tools constructively, so then you take away that option. So, you know, he can go out and maybe he can pass an STD, but he will not be fathering any more children.
But who letting these men impregnate them? I tell you what, a lot of women – know what the deal is with these dudes. A lot of them do, because a lot of these dudes know they ain't going nowhere. And so they got to let him impregnate them. Again, let's be real. A lot of these, everybody complaining about the deadbeat dads. Let's think about this. When they say, well, he should be there, well, how long did you know him? About a couple weeks. You know, these folks are getting pregnant by people they know absolutely nothing about.
That's true.
They don't, it's like, and the thing is, see how responsible that man is. see what type of life decisions he's going to make. What he's doing his finances now. Does he care about generational wealth? Or, heck, do you even care about generational wealth? Mm-hmm. There's certain things you gotta look at. Because it's been going on since the beginning of time. Even Charles Dickens even wrote about the poor people having the most kids. And it does say the most irresponsible have the most kids. Because you look at these people with the money. They don't have 8 kids running around. They have probably 2, 3 at the most. And look at these athletes, the ones that go broke. What's the common denominator? Baby mamas. Mm-hmm. They're having all these kids. And these kids are going to hit your pockets. You know, you may be able to pay for them, but what about the time? What about the effort? What about you going to read to those kids? Are you going to make those football games? If you got kids everywhere, it's not going to happen.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio, discussing the deadbeat dad, how they've affected this generation. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, give us a call at 347-850-8390. We'd like to hear from you. One thing I've noticed in this generation is the influence in the home is not as great as the influence in the street. And that's when the problem began. Because in my day, the influence in the home said, when the light comes on and I'm dating myself, that means you come in the house. And they didn't have to look for me. That just was clear. But today, when you open the door at 7 o'clock, like I said before in the morning, and you don't see your child till 12 o'clock midnight or sometime after that, something's gone wrong. Because obviously, he does not fear what's in the house. And so I think that's where we've had a breakdown. The children are running the household.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'll tell you this, a couple of things. First, one, there was no scarier words to me. And I'm 32, I'm still scared of this phrase. Go tell your daddy. I'm still scared of that. And the thing is, for kids, think about it. With kids, see, I always thought this. I taught my own mom. Now, I always grew up with my dad, and my mom always said, because the thing is, with money, never saw that with dad. He bought us up, took care of us. He all took us to Christmas shopping, but we always spent time. That's what kids remember.
Yeah.
But the one thing I want to ask you guys, how can a person who was never there have a bigger impact than a person that is there? Because I'm saying that because the person who's there, they're the ones that got to move past it. It's maybe wrong, and we're not saying it's right. But shouldn't you be the bigger and better person and be like, hey, this, no matter what happened, my kids are still going to be right. I'm going to find them a positive male role model, youth lead coach, brother, or I'm going to choose the next man wisely, and he could be that guy. You know, do y'all think there's any truth to that?
Oh, and you know what I think? I think you're absolutely right. When you get through, when they got to put mentoring groups together so that they can mentor your children because you're too sorry to do it, or your children fall prey to a situation like the Eddie Long situation because you were not a father in the home, you're a deadbeat dad. I mean, bottom line, I mean, alleged Eddie Long situation, you're a deadbeat dad. Because those young boys, in my opinion, were craving the attention of a male role model in their life. And so if what they alleged happened, then they fell prey to somebody who could give them things and could give them attention. How sad.
Yeah. But I want to ask you this. Again, they said craving. If it's that simple for black men to be in house, one, doesn't matter if he's in a home, he's not worth the flip anyway.
Sure.
Let's get that straight. Sure. But at the same time, one, I feel like you got to mold these kids from the ground up.
That's true.
And also, if it's that simple as a responsible black man being in the home, how come all the irresponsible ones are still making the kids? I feel like someone's still making the choice to lay down with these irresponsible dudes. You know,
but see, I think the whole irresponsible thing, I think it's twofold. I think the man is stupid to be planting his seed anywhere, and I think the woman is stupid to allow a deadbeat man to lay his seed with her. So I think they're both stupid. I mean, in my opinion, if we just want to call it what it is. But I think when the child gets here, that part is like secondary to the fact I'm here now. Somebody needs to step up to the plate and be a parent to me because I don't know what to do myself. And so you got kids in the world who are raising themselves because we got deadbeat moms and deadbeat dads. But I think the dad's role in the house is supposed to be that of the disciplinarian, the provider, the protector, and he's not there. I mean, he's absolutely not there. And these kids are out there wreaking havoc on the world because they're trying to figure it out. They're angry, they're mad, they're hurt, and they are falling prey to gang activity and God knows what else because they don't have that male figure in the house. Something's wrong. You know, something is very wrong. And I think, you know, AJ had a point about, you know, in the school system there should be relationship courses. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The school can't do everything. I mean, some of this starts at the house. I mean, really. I mean, the government, the school cannot do everything for the parenting situation. The parents have got to step up at some point and just be parents. I don't know.
Yep.
You know, when we get through at the end of the day, if it doesn't happen, we're going to lose this whole generation. I mean, it's just plain and simple. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment about the topic today, deadbeat dads, how they've affected this generation, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, call us at 347-850-8390. I one thing I've noticed is when the police kill somebody's child, the whole community is outraged, and they want to talk about all the police killed that child and da-da-da-da-da, and that's a bad thing, don't get me wrong, whenever a police has to kill someone. But at the same time, when your child is out in the street at 1 o'clock in the morning and he should be at home and he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, shouldn't you have been screaming before the police had to kill him? I'm just saying. I mean, it's not right if they killed him and maybe he didn't have a gun or whatever. But a lot of times those cops on the street are scared as they can be when they confront a situation. I mean, they want to go home at the end of their shift just like everybody else does. And so when they confront your child and they give him a direction and he doesn't follow it and they shoot him, God forbid, then the whole community is up in arms about the police killed the child. But where was the community when that kid was getting out of hand? Where was the community when they saw that child on the street past what should be considered an appropriate hour for that child to be on the street?
It ain't my problem. That's what they say. It ain't my problem.
Why are you coming out screaming that the police killed it? And we got to do something. You know, why don't we do something? Why don't we stop being reactive and be proactive? Why don't we start grabbing our kids and being a community again and being a village and raising these kids as opposed to being reactive when they're killed in the street by either gang activity or the police or God forbid what else? And then we all get out and start holding hands and doing these candlelight vigils about the fact we got to do something then. Why do we do that? That's the only time you see the black community come together when something bad happens.
Yeah, and most times that kid was breaking the law anyway.
That's just real. You hate to say it, but when he's out at 1 o'clock in the morning behind somebody's store, he's not supposed to be there. You know, and people will say, well, he didn't have a gun or he didn't have this. It's a dark alley, folks, and the police are coming, you know, answering a call to an alarm, and your kid's behind the store. They're afraid because they want to go home at the end of the day. And do they react sometimes out of fear and shoot people? Absolutely. But it comes a point when the parent has got to say, it's 12 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, and I know where my child is. Remember that commercial that used to be on TV and said, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your child is?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I ahead of y'all? There used to be a commercial.
Hey, I'm 32. I've seen those commercials.
Remember, it used to be a commercial that came on every night at 10 o'clock to say, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are? Those commercials need to come back because I bet if most parents were honest with themselves, it's 10 o'clock and they don't know where the kids are. I don't know. You know, but I think we gotta do something because, we're looking at a situation in which kids are out there pretending to be adults. I mean, and they're running the streets. I mean, and they're doing everything that grown folks do. I mean, I was given numbers by someone who works for AIDS Outreach here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this week and told that one of the age groups that are being most affected by AIDS now is 13 and 14-year-olds. How can that be? I mean, somebody's not parenting somewhere. How can it be possible that a 13 and 14-year-old can contract HIV and the parent not know it?
And that's the problem. I'll tell you what the problem is. Parents don't take time for their kids. See, the problem is when people say step up, I want to help people out with this. Only subpar people need to step up. And that's the thing, first and foremost. I hear them say, well, you mean you step up? Hey, that man was subpar from the beginning. Don't expect subpar people to step up. Hey, that's kind of like asking Tony Romo to come through in the clutch. He's never going to come through in the clutch. What's up, Cowboys fan? But but anyway, what you talk for parents being at homes. See, a lot of people think having a kid is cute. Well, I got a kid. Oh, I got a kid. He's so cute, but it's work. You have to take time out, read to those kids. You know, those summer vacation, instead of going to Six Flags, take your kid to the planetarium, like the planetarium. Or tell them the truth about sex. Instead of just saying, don't do it. Teach them about the prevention. Because let's be real, they can throw religion all they want, but I still see women, whenever I do decide to go to church, I see women bringing kids, two and three kids, by themselves, no man. So I feel like that, one, the parents got to lay the law down. Not saying you can't do it, because they're going to do it anyway, but be responsible. Tell them the truth. And that's why I say, if the man is gone, you can't tell your mom ain't getting no licky on the side or don't go on a date in the whole time. So be find a responsible dude. Come around your way. He can help out and be that figure. Because
but
you can never have too many positive adults.
But you made it see, and I'm going to give the women a break on this point. It's not that many guys to choose from. And we discussed it on your show between the ones that's in the cemetery, in jail, out. I mean, seriously, Delmo gay. I mean, seriously, the pickings are slim. And I get that, ladies. Trust me, I know. But I still think you still, if there's nobody to choose from, it makes no sense to go have a baby by Crackhead Willie. Because he's not going to bring anything to the table because he's not bringing anything to the table right now. And so I think that's where we're at in terms of the women making the bad decisions. It makes no sense. Women, white women, and I said it on your show, go to college to meet husbands who are doctors and lawyers. Why do black women have babies by the neighborhood thug? I mean, I agree, we got to make better choices. At some point, we got to say, you know what, this ain't working for us. This is insanity to keep doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. That's insanity. And so as a community, we women, as women in the black community, have got to say, you know what, no more. You know what, I may have a child, I may have two children, but I'll be darned if I'm going to get a third child by a deadbeat man. You know, it's hard enough out here, and with us being in a depression, recession, whatever they want to call it, we got to do better because if these systems fail tomorrow, if we fall into the New World Order tomorrow, they're not going to leave all this stuff in place. They want to put us on work camps. I mean, in work camps, and it's going to be like the new slavery. So why would you want to have three kids under a situation like that? The best thing you can do is step up and say, you know what? Deadbeat situations is not something I'm going to buy into. But I think it's all about conversation. You got to get to know that joker before you sleep with him. You got to say to yourself, you know, who are his parents? What kind of upbringing did he have? You know, what kind of schooling does he have? What's his plans for the future? Does he have a 5-year plan? Does he have a 10-year plan? We got to start looking at some of that stuff, ladies, because at the end of the day, who wants to have a baby? I mean, spend 9 months carrying it and then 18 years taking care of it by yourself. I'm just saying. Kundalini, you awfully quiet. Kundalini. Kundalini must be in the chat room doing his thing. But I think all I'm saying to you all, I know it's tough out there, ladies. I've been there. I'm doing it. But at the same time, at the end of the day, I don't have any babies by deadbeat daddies, trust me, because that was not something that I was going to buy into. I'm not blaming anybody that's fallen into that. I'm just saying don't let it happen again. Do not fall down under the same situations again and be a part of a system that you got to ask welfare, food stamps, and Section 8 to take care of your kids. That's just not the way we want to go. Let's go back to the phone lines. 202, you're on center stage. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, babe? I love your show.
Thank you.
I like the part where you said about the cops. How come your kids are out here anyway at 1 or 2 in the morning, you know, and how can we always get upset when a cop kills a kid but we don't say nothing when we have our own stuff going on, our internal battles? I thought that was right on point, you know.
And you called in last week, right? And we all kind of jumped on you because you were the one that said wean out the systems, right?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I said that about 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And so you said that we should wean out other systems, and we all kind of jumped on you and said, oh,
yeah,
you know, he's kind of out of touch with what's going on. But in reality, a week later, we kind of agree with you that, yeah, that is.
Yeah, and that's
I don't believe it. Hey,
kind of.
We need to call CNN out here. I have a black woman agreeing with a black man. We need to get CNN, MSNBC, Fox News.
Oh, hell no.
We need to get them right to Blog Talk Radio right now and record this. I want to record this.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, you know what? At the end of the day, we say, wow, you know, we don't know about that guy. When we thought about it a week later, we go, you know what? He was on to something. Maybe if they weed out some of these systems, then the deadbeat dad can't be the deadbeat dad.
That's right.
So for those people that maybe didn't tune in to last week's show, which was Stop the Violence and It's a Must Hear, we want you to tell them what you told us was the plan that you thought would stop all the violence. We didn't feel necessarily that it connected with Stop the Violence, but your plan was good for this show, The Deadbeat Dad.
Well, I say if you want to kill the alligators, you got to drain the swamp at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I meant by that. We have to take away the water. And then we have to force women, I hate to say women, but we're going to force them to make better choices. because women have babies because they can. That's why they have babies. Because they can have babies. They can have three babies because they have a support system. Not only do they have Section 8 welfare and all this other stuff, they have child support. They can get that. They can get help. There's all sorts of help for you know, women out here. So women are using those systems to have a lifestyle. Not much of a lifestyle, but it's enough for them to eke out an existence. And what I'm saying is that we need to start taking away some of these things, slowly take them away. And you know what it's going to cause? It's going to force people to make better choices. Period. You have to start thinking about things.
And I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And it was hard to say that, I'll be honest with you, because I really didn't think, like, wow, what's going to happen to the kids when they lose all this support? But at the same time, I think it's not something you can do overnight. But at the same time, I think the deadbeat dad has a place to continue to do what he does if we don't put a system in place to say, you know what, if you don't support him, there's not going to be anybody else that will. And so,
well, you know what? I actually don't think the men are the problem, you know,
really?
The deadbeat dads, because, you know what, this might seem harsh, but I'm thinking to myself, why is this woman even having a baby with a dude that lives in his grandma's basement that don't have a job, that's smoking weed, smell like a 40. I see these brothers all the time in D.C. on the same street corner, smoking weed, drinking 40s. He's got three or four kids. I'm thinking to myself, why are these women even having babies with these fools? That's where I'm at. I'm thinking, why is she even getting with this guy from the beginning?
But is she his equal, though? Because sometimes, you know, we must call it what it is. If she is his equal, then maybe that you know, they understand each other. But if she's not his equal, then maybe I don't understand why she's getting with this guy.
Well, you know what?
That
part I can understand. But here's the part that angers black men, is that we know these women are messing with these dudes that aren't up to par from the beginning, and then they want to turn around and get mad and blame black men when you knew that brother wasn't nothing from day one. That's what irritates me. If you want to have a baby, you know what, a bum-ass dude, cool. But at least woman up and say, you know what, I made a decision that maybe I shouldn't have done. I shouldn't have had a baby with this dude. At least just be a woman about it and just say, hey, I screwed up, instead of turning around and point the finger at the black man. That's what irritates us. So,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
Right,
okay.
Huh?
What was that?
Huh?
Hey, it's me. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, cool. I'm back here. I lost my signal for a second. Double up's right, though, man, on that, because, now, you know, I'm 32. I have my stuff together. No kids. You know, I have the basics. Somehow the basics of me just taking care of myself, put my own roof over my head, it's like now having a golden ticket like Willy Wonka, you know. But like now it's like, okay, I've been bred to, hey, wait till I get myself established first before I start a family. And now I'm going to turn up to start a family. Now all I see is ready-made families.
Yep.
And now if I still have my age, hey, they say go younger. You got girls in high school, got two kids, you know. So now I have to take on that responsibility, which isn't anything I had to do with, and it's just, and that's a tougher thing right there.
And I tell you this, the double up's right about the choices, because it's all about choices in life. Because the thing is, that 15 minutes could not only leave you that kid by a man that ain't nothing, but also could prevent you from that great black man. But, Senator Faith, I meant to ask you, what were you saying, though, because my phone cut out when you're talking about, like, the lack of the men, whatever, because now you're talking about that, like, the stuff right there. I tell you this as well. There's a lot of women out here who got kids. And, like, there's a lot of them that are lesbians and bisexuals out there. And those lesbians, and they be getting a fine one, too, anyway. But, you know, and the thing is, there's a lot going on with that as well. And or like, I've been bred, get the education, get the career going. Don't go to prison, don't do all that. But when I meet a woman, a sister, I get met with belligerence. I get met with the riot at, like, I'm that guy that did it. No, I'm not that guy. But, yeah, I'm coming up here saying, hey, I got her. I'm not that dude. I don't have kids. But, yeah, I get met with that. And I feel like a lot of this stuff may hurt them. And plus, this is my last thing. A lot of sisters will still date and sleep down. A lot of them, they...
Because there's not that much to sleep up to, because, I mean, unless you're going to be, like, number one, two, and three, or number three of one of three, you know, there's not that many guys, people. I mean, y'all not getting it on these shows when you're talking about the woman is choosing. There's not that many guys out there. If you didn't hear my list of, you know, people you don't want to get with, there's not that many of those that you can get with.
But they are still getting with them. But they are still getting with and having babies by these dudes and still complaining, Because let's be real, there ain't no point complaining about the gay man, because he don't want y'all anyway.
This is
I can be real.
And the now on Brother W's, really, if the truth be known, he's just faking it. So, I mean, it's not a lot for a woman to choose from. The down low brother, at least he's only probably going to date one woman of all the women out there, because he really just putting on a sham.
But can I put you on game right quick?
Yeah.
All right. There's a lot of thirsty dudes out here. Any man that wants to go on a myriad of dates for sport is a fool. And of a man, because I don't care, because that's money. It's like, I don't care if there's a 50-to-1 ratio. All I want is one. But she has to be fitting of being that one.
But are you the exception or the norm? I think you're the exception. Because I think most guys try to date as many women as they can, which is cheesy, but they do it.
No, what? You know what? There's something women don't understand about men. Men separate women from respectable and non-respectable, wifey or non-wifey, okay? And a man is going to put you in two categories, either you're wifey or you're not wifey. That's it. Now, he will date you if you're not wifey. He'll hit you. I mean, he'll date you. He'll spend money on you, but he ain't going to marry you. He'll have kids, but he's not going to marry you. He'll drop a baby in you, but he ain't going to marry your ass unless you're in that wifey category. And women don't understand that about men. We separate your asses, okay? We separate you.
Wow. And I think on some level women probably understand that, but on another level there's probably that woman that thinks, if I don't do it, somebody else will. So she plays that game with herself instead of saying, you know what, I respect myself too much to do this, so I tell you what, if that's what he's looking for, let him go across town. Which is unfortunate, but I've seen that game played many, many times where the woman fools herself into thinking if she just does X, Y, Z, then she's going to get him over the next woman. When in reality, if he's playing everybody, it's best to let him go anyway. I'm just saying.
But at the same point in time, you got a lot of women players out there, too. They know the game.
Yep.
A lot of them know the game better than we do.
Women?
Because we ain't fooling women. You know what? We ain't fooling women out here. I mean, I go out here.
No, not by far.
I ain't fooling nobody. Even when I was out single, man, I tell women, look, I ain't looking for a relationship. I want this. And women know what the hell you want. Ain't no. These women ain't getting fooled out here, man. They can tell the player dudes from. These women know what time it is, man. You know.
Really?
I ain't going for that.
Yeah, because I tell you what, a married man with a ring on his hand, that is a chick magnet.
That's
women
right.
Women will be all over that married dude.
No, I've heard it all. I know you didn't say that.
He's right, because I'm married right now. I'm a married man right now, right? I've been married for 7 years. This is my second marriage. I know at least 7 women right now that I could bang, and they know I'm married, okay? I ain't lying. I ain't making this up. They don't care.
You tell the truth.
Where do you find these women? I mean, where are you going? I mean,
they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're in the Safeway. They're at the Subway. They're in church. They're everywhere, man. They're in the bank.
Sophisticated, educated women.
Soccer practice,
the one
or nurses
be the main one.
Okay, somebody help me out. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the internet, call 347-850-8890. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation.
I tell you what.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're discussing deadbeat dads, how they've affected this generation. So my question to y'all, since y'all blame everything on the woman.
No, we don't.
I know you probably don't think of that, but it really sounds like y'all blame, like, I mean, the stock market crash, I mean, the mortgage crisis, 9/11, everything on women. And it cannot be all about us. I mean, really,
all I'm saying is this. We ain't fooling women. Women ain't being fooled out here, okay? They're playing along.
Okay, let me tell you, like somebody told me. I talked to somebody who had HIV, and they said to me, Carrie, we want to be loved just like every other woman. And I found that so, like, I couldn't wrap my mind around it initially, because what she was saying is, despite the fact of what's going on with my body, we still want the same thing that a woman who doesn't have HIV wants. So I'm saying that to say that the woman who is out there, she may be educated, she may have a good job, but she's still wanting the same situation as everybody else. So sometimes she may make some poor decisions based on that, or whatever the woman's situation is. She may make some bad choices with her guy simply because she just wants to be loved just like everybody else. And if she can't find it in the package that she wants it in, then she just go get it in whatever package she can find it in, unfortunately.
That's a problem. That is a problem.
But does it exist? Yes. I mean,
that's
I've seen some beautiful women in Hollywood, and I won't call no names, but they're changing boyfriends every 6 months. It's like, time the relationship is over, they jump to another relationship. And I'm thinking, how can someone that beautiful be that in need of a man? But obviously...
Ooh, I got you. I tell you this. First couple things. One, first, a lot of times, the mama cultivate that player mentality in the boy. Say, hey, Jamal, don't be tied down with a woman yet. You know, go out there, date different women, be with different women first. That happens a lot. Now that happens. I've heard that one.
Okay. Yeah, don't, you know, you're too young to tie yourself down with a family. You need to be out there having some fun before you make your decision about who you're going to marry. That happens. You know, and to your bad mamas to say that, shame on you. Because I think, though, we cannot keep talking about the HIV crisis in our community and not know that that has a role in it. You know, a joker who's a player, it's probably spreading the virus, people. So, you know, we don't need those kind of situations, so we should not be encouraging anybody to be a player. I think everybody should be trying to find one mate and stick to it. Then we wouldn't have so many deadbeat dads, because he'd be at the house with his wife and his kids, as opposed to out here in the streets doing God knows what, whatever.
Or in some cases and in some religion, his wives and his kids.
What are you talking about? We know they are definitely the exception to the rule. That's the exception. And anybody who gets on a farm with a man and tells him that you know he can have four of the women is crazy. I mean,
they don't
have to be on a farm.
They don't all live in America.
I said that on T. Smitty's show the other day.
I think T. Smitty was the one that said it. That may be what we need to do, which I disagree.
No, I ain't say that. Hey, with these child support laws, you be a damn fool. Somebody said maybe the
answer is that women are going to have to accept that they're going to have to man share. Which I think is ridiculous.
They are, you know what? They already sharing dudes.
Women, you guys are sharing women.
I know a lot of women sharing dudes, man.
Oh, come on. I mean, are they knowingly sharing the same man?
Yes, they're knowingly sharing.
I don't know. They're having sex with the same dude and his different girls, and they know he got other girls.
Yeah.
Is that
not knowing? As long as he don't bring it over my house.
I'm saying, though. But
you were talking about those Hollywood women. The thing is, a lot of our women got to understand, looks get you the interview, but your heart, your mind, can you make a baked macaroni and cheese to get you in the door, to get you the interview, get you the job? See, a lot of them think all they got to do is be a pretty black woman to get the man. No, it takes more than that to get that man.
Because
most men only date pretty women anyway. So, especially the ones who have money and options, because dudes who the ones you want, they don't mess with fat chicks like that. They got options. So, I hate to be mean like that.
Shame on you. I, you know what, I, mean, I, That's not necessarily true, though. See,
I disagree with that theory. I've seen a lot of the options that happen.
I see more fat women got game and got it going on because for whatever reason.
I've seen that.
Hey, look, if you go to any strip joint in America, who do you think the women in there look like? Monique? What? Or Precious? Do you think the strippers look like Monique and Rashawn Ann?
Don't get me wrong, though. Yes, big women probably find great catches. But that's another thing that messes a lot of women up. They think because I could be as big as I want to be and get the best. No, you got to be attracted. Now, there may be a man that's attracted to that. There are some. But my point was it takes more to being just pretty to keep a man because a lot of these men only mess with pretty good-looking women anyway. And I think that would mess a lot of those women up.
Look at Halle Berry. You know,
I think everybody getting a little action. I really do. I think the fat girl may be getting them in the dark, but she's still getting them. And listen, no disrespect to fat women. I'm sorry, that's not even politically correct. Yeah, I'm listening to y'all. I mean, what do you call it? Overweight women or whatever the politically correct term is.
BBW.
Okay. Then they're getting love, too. I mean, because you can say what you want. Monique got hers.
They actually changed it now. They have small BBWs and medium BBWs and large BBWs. Did you know that?
Wow.
No, I did not know that. I don't even know what we're talking about, y'all. I'm going to stop because I didn't know.
But it all comes together. But it all ties, all this stuff ties in, though.
Okay.
What's going on, D-Mac?
This is what I'm saying, though. As far as the deadbeat dads are concerned, ladies, listen. I mean, heads up. If you meet a guy and he doesn't have a job, move on. If you meet a guy and he's already got three baby mamas, move on. Because more than likely, neither of those guys are going to stand up and be a dad for you and your kids or a husband or a good boyfriend or anything else. So I think in most of the cases, it is choices. But at the same time, when the pickings are slim, still, ladies, you got to look at the end of the day and say, what am I dealing with? And if this guy's got all kind of issues with family, you know, doesn't respect his mama, you know, his daddy left him, whatever the case may be, he's probably not going to be the man for you. And so I think the deadbeat dad situation and how it relates to this show, it's just affecting our kids, though. At the end of the day, when you got angry kids on the street because they don't have fathers at home, you know, who's to blame for that? I think it's the mother and the father. But at the same time, the dad is supposed to be the head of the house. And we know that when the head is missing, the body is going to be dysfunctional. I said that in the intro. So I'm trying to understand, how do we fix it? How do we discourage deadbeat dads? How does we don't want to put everything on the government, but what can happen in our society where we stop, you know, making a deadbeat dad feel like he's got a place with us? I mean, he shouldn't even have a place in our society. I mean, seriously, he should be shunned. I mean, he should be, there should be, like, watch lists for deadbeat dads, like crappydads.com. There should be all types of things in place where
it's not gonna happen. Because you go to any county jail in America, go to county jails, all you see is black women there beating their men and their boyfriends.
There's Hispanic women and white women too. Come on now.
Something else you said that kind of piqued my interest. You said about men. I'm 44 years of age, and I'm gonna tell you something. I've never had a job every day in my whole life. Because I worked at union as an electrician. There are times where I'm out of work. You know, I'm self-employed now, but when I was working, you know, there was times where I'd be stretched at seven months no work, 4 months no work, 3 months. You know, that's just the way it works. I would not tell any woman, if a guy's not working, don't write him off. You don't know what his circumstances
are.
Depends what it is. You know what I'm saying? You have to start digging a little bit more into that because everyone's working all the same time.
But you got a license. I'm sorry. It's not like you're somebody who doesn't have the potential to go out and just get a job today. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're self-employed, you can go to Home Depot and find somebody who needs some electrical work done. But we're talking about a joker with no skill, who is unemployed, uneducated. There's nothing he can really bring to the table. You know, I mean,
I understand that. But just because a guy doesn't have a job, I would not write a woman off because she didn't have a job. I really wouldn't. I would have to find out why she's not working. Maybe her company downsized. You know, you have to dig in a little bit more. You know what? I try not to make snap judgments of people. I think that's dangerous. You have to. You can't just, like, if I see a person on a bus, a woman, I actually ride the bus and I ride Metro. that doesn't mean I don't have a car. I actually have two cars, but I actually do ride the buses quite a bit because it costs so much to park in, you know, D.C. and so much traffic. So a lot of women will see you on the bus or on the metro, and they think you're just a bum-ass nigga. They don't know that I'm just trying to save $30 from parking. You know, that's why I'm riding the bus. And a lot of women make those, they make those mistakes, and they miss out on a lot of good dudes because a guy may, you know what, a lot of men, guys that have money, can buy a $10 drink, but he prefers to spend $3 for a beer. And a guy may have a lot of money in the bank, but he doesn't want to drive a new car. He may drive a 10-year-old car because
well,
he likes
older cars.
Well,
you know
what?
I'm a woman, and I'll be honest with you.
Saying?
Before I get to know a guy very well, first thing he wants to know is, what do I do for a living, and do I have my own house, do I have my own car? I'm like, dude, I mean, but he's already seen me like he's sizing me up, so why should I then not size the guy up and see what I'm dealing with? You see what I'm saying?
Well, where are you meeting these guys at? The club or what? Maybe you should,
first
maybe you should check. I mean, where are you meeting these dudes at?
Everywhere, go figure. I'm just saying that's what you're dealing with today, because guys are becoming so sorry. They're looking for women that have their own houses or their own places, so that they can have a place that they can.
Dudes are sizing you up. You know what they're looking at? They're looking at that fat ass.
Okay, hold on.
That's what they're looking at initially.
A family show.
And then, and then they may start talking, and then after that, then they might start seeing what kind of mind she got. But dudes aren't initially worried about your job. They could, you know, that's something guys
true.
Don't
need. Okay, Keith Smitty, Kundalini's telling that's not necessarily true.
I'll tell you about jobs. And the thing is, that's icing on the cake, because the men you want, they love you. Hey, let's be real. We all want our women to work. Hey, we're in the worst economic climate since the Great Depression. Well, of course, you're going to have to work. But the thing is, though, that's not what gets us, because women can't get these well-established men with promise of financial security. We provide a financial security. Hey, honestly, we'll, you know what? How about this? Make a dinner. Make a meal. How about that? You know, that
wow.
We like cooking. we ain't saying you got to cook 7 days a week. We ain't saying that. Take a couple times out a week, make a hot meal, you know. That's a type of that domestic stuff. Because we don't want a colleague. We want a wife.
You want a wife. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, guys. Let's go to area code. I guess somebody's calling via the Internet, 111. You're on center stage. How you doing?
Sorry.
Okay. Why is it so important for you, let's say, or for a woman to have a man with a job?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I asked the question, didn't I?
Well, then let me tell you. Because if he has no way of providing for me, if he can't bring anything to my household, then I don't need that kind of man, because I'm not ever, and I mean ever, interested in taking care of a man. So, it would be very important for me to know, like, okay,
so
what am I doing?
In other words, you're going to retain the same old traditional values of being a parasite.
Oh, no, sir, I disagree with you. I disagree with you.
I know you disagree with me, but the thing is, if a man doesn't need a woman, right, we don't look upon women because of their jobs. We look upon a woman because of what she can provide emotionally. And if you're going to be the strong, independent woman.
So you think I look at a man and say, wow, you know what? What can he provide for me emotionally? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You don't look at a man to find out
what he provides for you emotionally. You just want to find out if he's got a job to provide for you materially.
Yeah, you gotta have both.
When people apply for jobs, they go through the screening process, because you know what? The job knows that unless you meet the basic qualifications,
there's no
reason.
Why is this a major priority for you, a man that has to have money? Because you don't want to spend money on him?
Oh, I'm not going to spend money on him. Let's be clear.
Better question, because if you make it sound money, you make it sound like it would be a woman who's money hungry, who's looking for a dude that's making a quarter.
Well, that's all that she's talking
money,
about.
Money could be just simply being able to provide just basic necessities or whatnot. That could be a $30,000 to $40,000 a year dude. So when you say money and you're asking that question, I'm questioning, like, are you talking about somebody that's looking for a dude with a lot of money, or are you talking about just the fact that he has some money, period?
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking to the gentleman that was asking the question.
Oh.
Because it's kind of, it's so vague. When you say money, it's like when somebody talks to me about business and they say, you know, I want to operate, you know, or do this and that. And I say, okay, how much money you got? Oh, well, money is not an issue. Okay, so then me and you can have $1 million conversation and we can keep going, right? And they're like, no, I don't have $1 million. And what are you talking about?
you need to be a little bit more specific. I mean, for me to understand where he's coming from with that question to you, I'm just trying to follow along.
Hey, brother, can I say something right quick, brother? The thing is, it's an inherent nature. And plus, a man wants to send money to his woman. Maybe say, hey, baby, I love you. Hey, go get your nails done. His woman, not just any woman off the street that he's banging. I'm talking about the woman that his lady, the woman he wants to marry, that type of woman. But see, the thing is, what type of man wants to move into his woman's house that will not be able to provide for his woman? And that's the thing that's been lost with our men today.
Exactly.
Black boys are raised to be sorry. They raised to be sorry. And, like, and a man wants to be there for his woman and wants to provide.
Today, men are brainwashed. Men have always provided for the woman. And until a few years ago, the woman was nothing more than somebody who was taking care of the house. She didn't bring anything to the table except so-called house-building skills.
Are you serious?
They had a baby, the man provided, and the woman stayed home, and the nuclear family was intact. Nowadays, what have you got? You've got women bragging about how strong and independent and equal they are, but then why is it they need a man with money?
Okay, let me help you here. Like I said, if you go apply for a job today, 100 people show up, the first thing the employer says is we got to have a screening process. So if they don't meet the minimum qualifications, send them home. Same principle, sir. There's no need in me.
I understand the principle, but your exhibition of the principle is that you want a man to provide for you. Let her finish the point first.
You're wrong, sir. I don't need anybody to provide for me.
You just said it. You said it in plain English.
I don't need anybody that's going to take from me.
So if his intent is to meet me and size me up, see how I can help him, I'm not looking for that kind of brother. That's
why
all
not?
I'm saying.
Women do the same thing to us.
In his own job, that's a problem. Then you know what? I'm part of the problem because you know what? That's the way
it's
going to happen.
Absolutely, you are.
No. When I meet women nowadays, when I used to meet women, they want to know where you work, the sizing, the weighing. We call it weighing your wallet. That's what we call it. Women always weigh your wallet. Nowadays, a lot of men are doing the same thing that women are doing, and women don't like it. Well, you have your independence. Men are going to hold you to it.
You're going to show
us this independence. We're going to treat you the way you want to be treated, like an equal. Men are starting to treat women like equals. That's what women don't like.
And you know what? That's all good. But at the same time, don't get mad because I'm not interested in you if you don't have a job, you don't have a place, and you don't have a car. Hold it.
See, I think part of the thing is everybody's almost saying the same thing. See, but I believe the questions are there simply because everybody's on the quest to better themselves. In the mode of bettering yourself, it's not how you can help me, it's can we help each other together. And I think that we're leaning on opposite sides as far as the man versus woman conversation, and that's cool because there are those cases. But I think in most cases, it's like, okay, so I'm struggling to do what I'm doing right now. So if we're together, how much less would the struggle be? Are we able to help each other out? And I really think that's the point we're trying to get to, but we're still saying, okay, the man wants to know or the woman wants to know. Both people need to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. That's a nice theory. But in practice, you ask 100 women of any race, especially in the West Industrialized Society, and in that society, especially in the United States, you ask 100 women, are you a woman who wants a man because you need a good partner? They'll all say yeah. Then they say, well, you're your man's equal, right? They'll say yeah. And you want somebody who's a good provider? Yeah. You want somebody who's going to do for you emotionally, right? Yeah. So you ask 100 women, of the men that you've gone out with, how many of them did you take out, pick up the check, buy something more than on Christmas or on holidays? And you get out of 100, you'll probably get 2. So I really don't want to hear about this.
Check this out. Evidently, you didn't hear when Carrie opened the show and said that Mr. Kundalini and myself, we're not a numbers guy. So when you open a conversation with numbers, that's completely leaning toward whatever point you wanted to make, which doesn't make it a clarity or a truth. And I understand that we can lean that way because too many people watch TV and that's the movie concept. But just because you see those concepts doesn't mean that you have to pick it up, put it in your pocket, and walk with it. So that doesn't make it so.
I'm still leaning on the truth.
Of what I just said, would you say that's a pretty picture that you painted with these rose-colored glasses? And man, I got cataract. I see clearly. I'm saying, when this comes to light, you can talk over it if you want to, but I'm still going to finish my point.
Okay.
When this issue comes to light, we want to make our point the, our way. But see, what I want to do is for everybody to merge into this little valley that we're building, so we can all make similar points, so we can actually come to some type of agreement instead of all the discord. But I really believe that that's the case, is that everybody's trying to find somebody to help lessen the load that they're carrying, because too many people feel like they're carrying worlds on their backs. So nobody's trying to find somebody to carry his world and her world, or her world and his world. Everybody's trying to say, hey, can we just split the weight of these worlds?
You know, listen, like, how come the hostess says she wants to look a guy up and down to find out what his wallet is, but if a guy doesn't go to her, she feels
offended. She just told you that that was part of the interview process.
No, the part of the interview process. Look, she's not going to spend money because she wants the guy to spend money on her. My question is simply this.
Don't blame that on my co-host. Don't start off with a lie and try to make it so. My co-host didn't say that. So go on, finish.
She didn't say that. You interrupted her before I got on the line.
You took it out of context, sir. I don't go out. I'm not a gold digger. You know, I'm not a gold digger by any means. But at the same time, I have worked for mine, and what I have, I don't plan to just go out and find the man who doesn't bring to the table. So if me finding out when I first meet someone who they are, where they work, if they got a job, if that's the problem.
I know. You want a nice guy that makes $100,000 a year, right? That's what you want, right? I understand that.
That's why I asked the question earlier, because he made a point about the whole thing with money. You already had an idealistic situation of what she was looking for in your head before you even asked the question. That doesn't make the question fair at all. Now, Mr. Kundalini, I really like this guy. I got to run, but I'll talk to y'all later. I got to run, but y'all guys take it easy, though.
Hey, Mr. Kundalini, I really like this guy because I like him. He's standing on what he says, even if it's not exactly correct. And I like that. I like that in a person. But I really do believe eventually you have to either, if the wind is blowing, it's blowing from east to west. You can't say it's just blowing. So I don't think that you're looking at, I think you're trying to look at everything like, this is the way I see it and this is the only way it
How
is.
About the
and
numbers
that's
again?
Really not the case. And I'm going to let you say what you got to
numbers,
say, but that's
guys,
really the point.
But numbers,
I'm saying
numbers
I really like
provides
you.
The truth.
No, I'm saying I really like you, truthfully.
Okay,
Tom,
let me ask you a question. Is your situation that you're unemployed and you feel like, or you don't make a lot of money, you feel like women size you up? Because it's not fair to jump on me because you experienced that in women in the past.
Stop projecting yourself on me. I'm on the line because I heard you say what you said. I didn't put words in your mouth.
Okay, you said one guy who makes $100,000 a year, and I don't think I ever said that.
I said that.
Somebody said I want a guy who makes $100,000 a year.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want a nice guy to make $100,000 a year. That's what you want. You don't get it. You don't hear what you're saying. This is what you're saying.
I don't think I ever threw a dollar figure out there.
Look, you're deflecting the issue. The whole thing is, you have said before I got on the line, you want somebody who's doing this and that and this and that, and all comes down to a monetary thing, and then you got offended if a guy sizes you up, and then you try to make rationalizations by saying, well, if they can size me up, I can size them up. Men haven't sized up women for what they were bringing to the table monetarily, only until recently.
They have? Are you serious?
I said recently.
You're not dating out there right now. I bet you're married. I bet you're not dating out there right now.
Well, what am I, married or not dating? What are you going to try to do?
I'm just telling you that the game is changing out there a little bit. And maybe you need to get out a little more,
like,
because that's what's happening out there. You meet a guy, and the first thing he wants to know is, what kind of car you drive, where you live, where you work.
Then bring it to the table.
I don't have a problem, but I'm not interested in someone who doesn't have a job, a car, or a place
to
stay.
And I'm asking the question, why not?
Why not? Okay. Yeah. I think I repeated that two or three times, and I'm going to say it one more time just for the record. Listen, I'm not interested in taking care of a man. Not my style. So that's
why not?
It. That's about all I got to put there.
Why not?
I'm interested.
Would you let a man take care of you? I'm curious.
Okay, first of all, I'm a pretty independent old girl. I really can't handle myself.
I'm
looking for a smart enough man who we can work together.
Again, you're not answering the question. I'll answer it for you.
Would you let a man take care of you?
I just answered your question, but I think you had in mind the answer that you wanted, and I didn't give it to you.
I don't know what to tell you.
Here's what you want. You want a guy, as this man just said.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
$100,000 a year, nice guy's going to take care of you. You certainly don't mind if he spends money on you, provides for you, Then you can show him off to your girlfriend. Look what I've got. But what are you providing? Well, I provide my golden arches. You know, your golden arches aren't that golden. Okay?
Wait a minute, you're white. I tell you what.
Where did you come from?
You can't beat up on the hoes and talk on the show. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I think you really are angry
you
at...
You think I'm this. You think I'm married, then you
hey,
think
hey,
I'm
well,
not married.
Well, hold up,
But you can say who I am, and you don't even know me. I don't know you.
Gary, hold on. Gary, hold on one second. Let me solve the problem. No, and let me solve the problem with you, too. Because, see, at least let her finish before you interject the negative things that you're saying. Because I think it makes the show interesting that you have an opinion like you do, and I think that's great. But I think there has to be respect all around because everybody needs to finish this
quote
or their statement. You're about to do it again. You're about to do it again right now. Everybody needs to finish what they're saying. And then you actually reply to it, and I think that would be great. That would make it more entertaining, and you can actually voice your opinion, and I think that would be a great show, and I'm done. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, let me ask you this. What does that have to do with Deadbeat Dad and how they're affecting this generation? So what does it have any of that have to do with anything?
So how come you were off the topic for about a half an hour then?
I was off the topic.
You weren't on Deadbeat Dad. You were on about how a man is going to provide, not going to provide, for about a half an hour. I was listening to
because
you.
Because you know how we got there? Because men were...
Dad, how's it off the topic?
The men were saying that the women were making bad choices. And so I kind of put it out there that women could make better choices if they would find out if a guy had a job first before they had a baby by them, which I still stand by that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because I think if you want your children to have shoes, food, formula, then you probably need to pick a man who's got a job. And if there's something wrong with that, so be it.
You know what the key word is? Is sharing. My mother never worked. My father worked two jobs. My mother stayed home, took care of the family. They did the old-fashioned way. But you know what? Men used to share their resources with their women and the family. Nowadays, women do not want to share their resources like the way men used to share their resources. They want to keep their money and have a man make even more money because they don't want to share their resources. That's what's going on out here. All right.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio, and we're discussing Deadbeat Dads, how they've affected this generation. Again, the topic is Deadbeat Dads.
Yeah, you better go back there because you messed with the lion's den now. You let the cat out the cage now.
If you're on the line and have a question or a comment.
Yeah, and if it isn't Deadbeat Dads, I'm sure you're going to say, well, the topic is Deadbeat Dads today.
You know what? Y'all, I can't win. Ladies, we have not heard from you today. We want to hear a lady telling
you need to call.
What she thinks.
Okay.
She needs some backup, huh?
Yeah, and it still wouldn't work.
Love some backup, ladies, because for a little over an hour and a half now, I've been talking to these guys, and I've been taking a real beating about why we should make better choices.
You only took it when I got on the line. No.
To make better choices and stay away from the Deadbeat Dad. I'm still getting beat up, so I can't win. So,
all right, I'll tell you what. You don't want a
Deadbeat
Dad? Don't spread your legs.
You
know what the man is like before you sleep with
him. I don't know if that's the answer. I think make better choices with who you choose to have your sex with. I think that's the best choice.
That's what I said.
And even more so, and I'll say this in a fight for a situation like that, just because I know too many, I know guys on both sides of the fence, a lot of men still need to just own up and figure out a way of how to become responsible. We can't just blame the woman just because she gave us an opportunity to create a child and leave it at that. That's just that's a poor excuse on our part if that's going to be our singular defense is for them to stop that.
I disagree, man, because you know what? In this life, there's mistakes and there's choices. A lot of women
you're telling me if you have a child, you honestly think you're not supposed to be responsible to take care of that child as a man?
Yeah, but you know what?
Okay, so that's all I was saying is you should, as a man, we should be responsible. I'm not saying that the woman is not at fault, too.
We should be responsible for
these women aren't dealing
choices.
Yeah, these women aren't dealing with responsible men. They're dealing with pookie, Ray Ray, Daquan, Pimpin' Ass, Dre.
That's not always the case.
Those are the same names you used last time.
There are some intelligent guys out there that are just choosing not
to. It's not always the case.
I'm sorry. I disagree with that. Pookie and Ray Ray and them are not the only people in this world making sure that there's some intelligent
brothers and sisters. The same people not involved in this. This is a different conversation. He bringing up the same people. They live on your street.
All of them. Okay, y'all. Erico, you're on center stage. How you doing?
Look, women have to be held accountable for their choices, just like men do.
Now, wait, we got a new caller. Right. Hold up.
Good afternoon, caller. How you doing?
What's going on? This is Blizzum from K100. What's popping? You know, I told y'all I can call in about this subject. You already know.
Yeah, okay, Blizzum, please tell us what you think about the deadbeat dad.
Well, first of all, being a deadbeat dad, maybe before I even go any further, being a deadbeat dad is, in fact, wrong. You know what I'm saying? If you got a child out here in this world, you feel me, you should take care of it as best, to the best of your ability. Now, what everybody's definition of what a good father is and what a father is supposed to do and should do, that varies. You feel what I'm saying? And it varies from situation to situation, woman to woman. You feel what I'm saying? I haven't been on the phone that long. I just got on here. You feel me? So I don't really know what all has been said. But you can't, like the way the system attacks the problem, it, just like any other blanket problem they have, they attack everybody with one regulatory system, you feel me, a lot of times, and a lot of times that causes strife and problems. You feel what I'm saying? Like I said before on my own show, women have an advantage in the legal system when it comes down to issues like custody and support and what's fair and what's not, how much a man pays and all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of the times, since the system is handles the child support and stuff like that with a broad sword instead of a scaffold like it should, and based on individual basis, you know, a lot of times that causes strife and discontent in between two adults. That's not right. You feel me? That's not right. You know, and that's a far difference from being a straight up deadbeat dad than a dad who can't take care of their child or can't do something financially. A lot of times, I notice a lot of women call dudes deadbeat dads just because they can't fulfill a certain financial obligation that they think they should. And you should be financially obligated to take care of a child, but a lot of times too much emphasis is based on that, because you can be a good father at the same time may not be able to pay as much as you think a woman should think you should pay or a court system think you should pay. That's the first part. You feel what I'm saying? So you got to address that whole problem in life.
But
take it all together.
Well, do me a favor. Make one point, then give everybody an opportunity to voice an opinion on that point. Then you have to pull again. Because I'm in agreement with what you said, because that is definitely a problem. It's because I was saying that everybody's name on the list of deadbeat dads aren't deadbeats. Too many times,
right,
children are held hostage for whatever reason to make them, you know, bark over more than, you know, because you say you want a man that has a home. He don't have a home because he's paying his house money for child support or whatever.
Right.
I'm not saying
right.
That's the case, but I'm saying, but the point you made, it is a valid point for sure, because it has to be equal. There should be some equilibrium there, because the father could be a better parent than the mother, but he don't have access to the kids.
Exactly. And that is a matter of the system. And one other thing I would like to say, and I'll just say this one thing, I mentioned also before, if a woman's right, a woman, a lot of things that could be stopped from making illegitimate kids would be simply if you make it mandatory. If a woman is not married to a man, okay, all these people got to do is tell a woman, look, ladies, because see, a woman has the right to choose whether or not she wants to terminate or keep a pregnancy. Even if I'm married to a woman, if a woman want to go get an abortion and end the pregnancy right now, that's quote unquote her body. She can make that choice. You feel what I'm saying? But when it comes down to a guy, he has absolutely no say. So yeah, you may wake up a month later after the fact that you did what you did as a woman and say that was a mistake and go get an abortion or whatever. A guy, but you can't, as a guy, you can't tell her, oh, it was a mistake. That one night stand we had, now you're pregnant, you should go get an abortion. But if they made it where women who are not married, who are single, unwed mothers, had to sign a form or get a guy's consent saying that you've informed this guy about this unwanted pregnancy and he agreed that you should carry it full term or whatever, and if not, you're going to be on your own. The abortion rate may go up, but also the rate of unwanted pregnancies and people strapping up and taking care, because as long as it's only on one sex, that's never going to be fair to me. You feel what I'm saying? Because a woman can wake up 2 months into the pregnancy and decide that she want to go and abort the pregnancy. And that's just her choice. She gets to pick. A guy don't, even though they both laid down and had the baby. You feel what I'm saying? So I think that's totally unfair.
That's been settled. Roe v. Wade in 73 gave women the right to choose, gave them control over their reproductive rights. Okay, that's been settled. It's not going to happen. And let me tell you something else about this deadbeat fathers. They did a study. Something like 10 to 30% of the women do not know who the father of their children is, right, or the child is. So they'll throw this term out, deadbeat fathers.
You
because
care
you know
of that.
What? They don't. Because I've read that. They don't really don't know who the father is. That's why they use the term deadbeat, because they don't know who the daddy is. Well, they have to say he's a deadbeat.
Okay.
Because they don't know, all right?
And let's not forget paternity fraud, too, where a lot of women...
Yeah, paternity fraud. Yeah.
All right? Plenty of that, thousands of that going around, where a woman can actually go inside the federal office, put her finger on on the phone book and say, this is the father. He doesn't know who this guy is. They'll send out some sort of a paper. The guy won't answer because he doesn't think that it's him. Or it may be that the address has been eliminated, or he's moved from there. Now he's got to pay child support. She doesn't know who he is. The woman could be black. The guy could be white. And he still has to pay child support.
I've never heard of such a case.
You never heard of it, huh?
I'm being very honest. I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of paternity fraud.
I've just never heard of a woman picking a man out of the phone book and saying that's my baby daddy, because there's DNA testing today. So how?
Well, it don't matter if she picked him out of the phone book or picked him up the street from the block out the club. Or do she, it don't matter. I don't care if she picked him out of the phone book over the dude that she just know. It don't matter. It's the same thing to me. I don't care if it's a random person or a dude she know. Damn well ain't the daddy.
But there's DNA testing, so it's not like he's got to pay child support for 18 years and not say, I demand a test.
There's a window of opportunity where the accused father can actually insist upon having those tests done. And in some states, if I'm correct, you don't even have the right to insist upon whether or not you're having a paternity test done.
Okay, then let's say it like this then. If there's that many bad women out there, then men should make better choices with who they sleep with. Because guess what? They don't want to be taking care of a child that's not there.
Well, guess what? Now we've come full circle, because it's still about relationships. I think if we talk relationships and people looked at every potential situation as a relationship, I think we would learn more about that person. So, you know, there would be closed legs, and there would be people that didn't want to sleep with somebody. Like, you know, I thought we were great at first, but we could be good friends. We can't be good lovers. And I think if we teach relationships first and before sex education, then sex education would just be part B or C. Because when you teach relationships, people will say, man, I didn't know it was going to be this complicated. See, people don't know of any foundational purposes of relationships, and they're having sex and doing things before relationships, and then when they try to have a relationship about the sex, it breaks apart because they don't know how it works.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're discussing deadbeat dads, how they've affected this generation. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet and would like to chime in on today's topic, the number to call is 347-850-8390. Let me make the point that I think is pointless to arrest a man and put him in jail for child support, because I think if he had a job, he's going to lose it. In jail for child support. So I think rather than do that, I think if you're going to arrest him for that, I think maybe you should put him on a work camp or something. If he doesn't have a job, or if he does have a job, then start taking money out of his check.
What about her? What if we just start locking these women up and having these babies, three different baby daddies? What if we start locking these women up or making poor choices? You know what? If you got 10 women that are pregnant with kids, 10 women with kids, that doesn't mean there's going to be 10 men that have 10 kids with those 10 women. You might have 10 women with babies and kids, but you may only have 4 or 5 men getting those 10 women pregnant. That's what's going on. You got a lot of men that have multiple kids by multiple women out here, and that's what's really going on. Okay.
Oh, I think the system could put some things in place that said, like, listen, you got 3 kids already. The system won't take care of a 4th.
Yeah, they are.
If you have a 4th child, then you're on your own. You know, some kind of
you
way.
You know what California's doing? You know what California's doing? Starting L.A. County. They're starting to award $12 a month child support judgments for women that are having all these damn kids. They're getting $12. That's all they're doing now.
Good.
Women are
good.
Yeah, that's what they're doing in
good.
California. They had enough
good.
Of this shit. And these women get $12. That's it.
Yeah.
No, they're ward.
Good.
They're trying to lock it.
And for a child,
for
one child,
you're
going to get $12?
That's it. That's why if
good.
These women got four or five kids, all these different men, and they have another baby, because in California, it ain't nothing but a Ponzi scheme out there, right? I used to live out there. Women are having these kids and just having some dude, you know, getting money from the state, getting money from all these dudes. So what they're doing is they're awarding $12 a month child support judgments for some of these bad, bad women because they're tired of locking these dudes up. They're tired of all this madness. That's it.
We're down to our last 15 minutes, ladies. Y'all have not chimed in on this subject at all. If you're listening on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1.
Yeah,
or if you're
listening
via the internet and would like to make a comment, call us 347-857-8390. You know what? I think the $12 judgment makes no sense because I think $12.
Yeah? Really?
You know what? It makes as much sense as suspending a man's license because he can't pay child support. That's utterly retarded.
Now that is true.
What does one have to do with the other? You can't drive and even go find a job. How can you go look for a job if you can't even drive your car to go to an interview?
That's gotta be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But it sounds to me that the system is so sick and tired of people coming down there saying, my baby daddy won't do this and my baby daddy won't do that, that they're getting extreme with their measures. But that doesn't make sense and it doesn't make it right. You know, because I think that you should not be standing in a line begging somebody to help you make your baby daddy take care of his children. That, to me, is crazy by itself. But it's happening every day. And so the system is tired of really getting in the middle of family crises because that's what it is. I mean, seriously, you're having babies by men who are so sorry that they won't take care of them. You got to go, in my opinion, to the man and ask the man to go help you make your baby daddy take care of y'all. That's crazy.
I think that's an instant conclusionary process. That's an instant conclusionary process to try and find a means, just like you say, a means to the problem but not a solution to the problem. Because, see, when you prohibit somebody's ability to even make money or to even, you know, travel or do whatever, or to drive or incarcerate them, you've already manipulated the situation to where they're going to be on the WIC program. They're going to be on this because you're taking him off the street,
right.
So he can't even donate to the process of actually taking care of his kids.
Exactly.
And I'm saying,
yes.
You can't raise your son behind a glass window.
But, see, we should be given free vasectomy and free two-time.
I'll let you finish, Carrie. Okay, I'm saying you can't even raise a child behind a glass window. So, what example? See, this is going back to the problems and not deadbeat dads, but the problem with missing fathers. See, I think the conversation, you know, wording would be different. See, the problem with missing fathers is all fathers missing in action aren't missing just because they're deadbeats. They're missing because of the process of what everybody call a deadbeat dad.
Now, we have to get down to the definition of what a deadbeat dad is to begin with. To me, a deadbeat dad...
We ain't going to agree with that from jump.
Whether that be nurturing...
Ain't nobody on the phone going to agree. Everybody got their own opinion.
There
you're right.
Well, here's mine.
Yeah,
a deadbeat dad is somebody who really shouldn't have been a father, okay? And they didn't want a kid, and they're not paying for the kid. But the kid... It was definitely their responsibility because let's say the man was married, all right, or he had a long-term relationship, and he actually had children with a woman that he said that he loved, maybe he did at one time, and these children are legitimately his, they're legitimately the recipients of his nurturing, and now, all of a sudden, life is tough, and he just goes away. That, to me, is a deadbeat dad, okay?
Okay.
Now, a person, so, I'm going to go back.
Wait, let somebody else throw their definition in before you continue.
Here's what I'm going to say. I read a study. Women aren't going to like this. 72% of our black kids are born out of wedlock. But 72%? People don't understand this. 72%.
Yep.
Wow.
That's right.
But did you know this? 70% of those women got pregnant through casual sex.
Wow.
Okay? From a guy that they knew 6 months or less. Okay? So here's what, let me tell you what's going on in the black community, sisters. Here's what's happening. You guys are going out, meeting some dude, and you're having sex and you're getting pregnant through casual sex. That's what's happening. Okay? You're not in committed relationships. You're just having a baby through booty calls, hookups, and jump offs. That's what's going on. Okay? what you black women need to do, hate to say this, you need to close your legs, okay, or learn how to use birth control. And the problem is solved, okay?
Okay, so don't you think that you should use birth control? How about both use birth control, and then that way we know the problem is solved?
How about fingernails to rip holes in the rubbers?
Oh.
You know what, Carrie? If you simply ask how many of these women out here that got baby daddies and all that were raped, we got to kill your whole argument right there. You feel what I'm saying? Ask how many of these women were raped that got these different baby daddies and got these babies from these jump offs like the dude just said. Ask how many of them were raped. None of them were raped. You feel me? Take it up.
You know, you go to a club, women are, I've been out there, I used to be in my 20s, women are drunk, they're high. You know, I remember we used to go to a club and pull chicks come in the parking lot, all have lips. We take them back and run trains on them. So
okay.
Women need to get off this nonsense about being raped.
If you like to chime in on today's topic, the number to call is 347-8390. I'm not going to say that women are getting pregnant by that kind of situation. We're not going to go there, are we? No.
Okay, I got a point to make. I'm saying either way that we are approaching this, everybody, just like I say, everybody won't have the same definition of a deadbeat dad, but everybody can agree that the problem overall is our understanding and our way of we dealing with relationships.
Mm.
So I think the solution is to start at the beginning point. I'm not saying that's the end all be all. But we got to start somewhere. I'm saying that everything everybody said is based on relationships, what people think relationships are. Maybe it's finding somebody with some bling and going and him making it rain and you doing whatever. But the thing
is understanding the
concept of relationships.
But like you said, most of them
people understood the
based.
Concept of relationships, we wouldn't be in the crap that we're in.
That's what I'm saying, exactly. So in agreement. Man, that is great. That is great. We're in agreement finally. Man, that is excellent.
But they're not in relationships, y'all. These are not relationships. Y'all saying learn about relationships. These people are jump off. And one night stands, there is no relationship.
That's right. There is no relationship.
There is no relationship.
None.
Exactly. I don't care how much you.
That's the point I'm
making. Relationships, and the problem is going to still be here because they ain't had a baby by people in relationships. So
we're not
going to
see every dad that's dead by result of a jump off, right? We're going to say that some deadbeat dads were husbands who turned out to be deadbeat dads. So every situation is not somebody
I
met.
I bet most men that were married to women or in long term relationships, they have a higher percentage of interacting involvement with their kids. All right?
Yes.
That's a fact.
Yes.
Okay?
That's a fact.
These women are getting pregnant in the back seats of cars at the Motel 6. That's how these women are getting pregnant. And then they get mad when dude bounces on them. After he hit it, he's like, I don't want no kid. I'm just trying to hit it. And that's what's happening out here, all right?
I don't know how many people on the phone got kids, but I got two kids. Two baby mamas, all right? You understand what I'm saying? I got one child from a woman that I was in an 8-year relationship with and one from a jump off. Which one you think gave me the hard time? Which one you think I gave a harder time to? Which child do you think I've been through the court system with? Just
8 years.
Fucking wild.
8 year. 8 year.
All right? Okay? So let's not play games. I know the difference. I know the difference that I know how men treat women that they were in relationships with and how men treat jump off. So off the top, when the jump off come to me, a one night stand came to me 3 months later talking about something. Oh, I think I'm crazy. You already know what my initial reaction is. You need to kill it off the top, and if you don't, we're going to have problems. Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
Oh. Wrong like that. You feel what I'm saying?
Ain't that hard.
Don't get it twisted. That's yeah.
But wait a minute. But abortion cannot be. Abortion cannot be the answer to everybody who didn't do the right thing.
You don't know everybody, guys. You only been knowing 3 months.
We can't abort every baby because y'all had Lamar Jackson and nobody wants to stand up and be responsible. Don't be surprised when he's not happy about it.
Okay? Don't be surprised when there's going to be issues from that.
What
do you think Roe versus Wade?
Everybody who's a jump off that got pregnant should abort the baby. We don't want to say that, right?
Of course. What do you think the right for women mainly is? The rights for women is because of the quote-unquote control of my body. It's my body. It's your body to either abort or to keep. So if you want to have an abortion, the man doesn't have a say in it, does he? So it's all about the women making the choices to abort.
Oh, y'all gonna have them reverse Roe versus Wade. Y'all crazy. I mean, that's not the solution, people. I mean, protection.
You know what would
solution.
Be the solution? If women knew that men actually could participate in the say of whether or not an abortion would be or would not be enacted, I'll bet you by 90% most women would not have kids.
Repeat that.
Abortion would be reduced by 90% if men could have to participate in whether or not the woman would either have an abortion or not. Because if men could have a say in it, and the law would back him up, he would say, I don't want the child. So if the woman knew that, uh-oh, he doesn't want the child, I can't get money from him, bang, abortion.
That's what I said earlier.
You're saying like a Solomon theme, cut the baby in half in the womb.
Yep. And you know
what?
Honest with you, y'all need to think about that, because how many Michael Jordans, how many Barack Obamas, many very, very good people who turned out to be very influential in our world,
let him finish.
Be killing because somebody had a jump-off situation. I just don't know that that's the answer. If you are on the line and have a question or comment, we're down to our last five minutes of the show. Press 1, or if you're listening via the Internet, dial 347-850-8390. We're going to go to the phone lines, 111 area code. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
We're talking about Debbie Dad. Do you have anything to add to that?
I mean, It's a major part of the equation, I think, especially as black people, we're leaving out of the whole scenario. Now, it might offend somebody who's on the phone, I don't know, but in that scenario, you got to see how white supremacy is affecting it and stuff. For black men and black women to continue going on and on, blaming each other. But, well, the only reason I'm miserable and ain't got shit is because of another miserable black person. That's got to stop. We got a situation here. Black men are not monsters. It's not that the brother doesn't want to take care of his family. It's pretty much like I believe it was James Baldwin wrote. Here you in a situation with the closest people in the world, your family, your woman, and your children, and to continually walk in that house every day and not be able to do anything, not being able to be a man, which is where manage comes from. You're not able to manage anything. You're not able to do anything. For a lot of brothers, that's just a situation that's unbearable. And eventually, they end up walking away.
Wow.
And the reason, and it's not because the brother's a monster and doesn't want to take care of his kid and then look at it like that. It's because we have an institutionalized white supremacy that we're dealing with. And we need to go ahead and grow up, take off the training wheels. I know it's a lot of kumbaya talk, but as black people, we got a problem. And black men and women got to stop blaming each other, and that's putting the blame on who it deserves to be on.
Okay.
Now that part of the conversation
goes back to earlier. I made the statement that when we go back to when this originally began was when during the Great Depression in those eras where so many men were out of work, they would hire women or help a single family out. So black men under great duress, left their families because that was the only way the families being taken care of. But years after this and the repeated process, now it's out of habit. I'm saying, so I think we can actually solve the problem, but everybody has their own way of getting to a solution. And I think that just addressing the problem first is a way of getting to a solution.
But in 1910, the black family was 92% of their kids were born within a marriage. In 1910, in the 1960s, it slipped to like 80%, I think, or 70%. Okay, within a marriage. So I ain't going to sit here and blame white folks.
What happened? We integrated in the 1960s, right?
Yeah, we did. No. It was a feminist movement that broke apart the black family, okay? When a black woman decided to be Miss Independent, I don't need a man, that's when the black family went down the toilet, all right?
No.
And the white families, too, because the white guy, the white husbands are gelded to death.
Yeah.
All right, they become pussified.
Listen, caller, I hear what you're saying, caller. I can understand your point of view. So this whole big issue that we got, you talking about families and listen, once again, like somebody's already said, most of these babies ain't got nothing to do with family. They from jump off. It ain't got nothing to do with a man walking away from his family. Most of these deadbeat, quote unquote, deadbeat dads, and all, they never was a family. They never was a family. He never lived in the house ever. She just got pregnant with a boy from around the way. Dope boy fresh. You feel what I'm saying? That's what all these deadbeat dads is coming from. Cats ain't trying to take care of and have to deal with this girl who was meant to be a jump off for the rest of their life, and they mad about it. Okay, let's just keep it 100.
Let's keep it 100.
That's why Marvin Povich is such a famous show. Look at
okay,
that.
Okay, but let's keep it 100 like you said, bro. Now, why do we have these sisters out here who obviously, if you're going to subject yourself to just being a jump-off, obviously the sister has some issues. Now, what is the root cause of this issue for you to go out here and lessen yourself and to just throw away your body like that? We have some deeply rooted issues, and when you get to the root of the problem, it boils down. All of these are symptoms of white supremacy. And we
Let me address that. See, little girls and boys both learn how to love by their father being around. So a lot of that is a symptomatic effect of missing fathers. That doesn't make the father deadbeat. That just means the father's missing. So they're missing on how to love. So we have this problem with relationships because everybody think a relationship is about sex. That's what I'm saying. Everything is missing screwed.
Okay. These women don't, you know what, these women don't want fathers, okay? They don't think a man is needed. And I'm telling you,
women do not think a man is needed in their family. They don't want a father.
Okay. They want to run shit. They want to run it, man. They don't want a man. They want his money, but they don't want him in the house telling him what to do.
Wait. Give a second. Carrie got to go. Don't tell him about sending a statement, man, Carrie. It's about time, isn't it?
We have rounded up the 2-hour mark and we're still going. Listen, that's going to have to be the final word. If you'd like to see us discuss a certain topic here on Center Stage or like to tell us what you think about the show, reach out to us at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. Also, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that on Center Stage.
Surely don't.
On behalf of AJ Cordellini and myself, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
All right, take it easy.